Hello and what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new edition of Nerd Thug Radio. I'm, of course, Corey DLG, and with me, as always, is little brother Nico.
That's me.
And this is Nerd Thug Radio. We are like the 70th most interesting thing you've seen today.
Wow. Well, I mean, the world's a pretty big place. I mean, you see a lot of things.
It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue.
Hard to argue. Hard to argue. That was a cool bug.
What have you been up to, man? How you been?
I've been trying to get back on the gaming grind after taking a break from my local card store for like a couple weeks.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. How's that going?
Fifth place. So the bare minimum. It's the lowest spot that gets prizing. So, I mean, like, okay. We still made the podium.
Listen, if you get a medal, you're a winner.
That's true.
What has been going on? Anything new?
Other than that, not really.
Okay, all right.
I live a very single existence at this point.
And then you start school again soon, right? Or is that...
Yep. But I mean, it's boring. It's not exciting.
Okay, that's fair. I can't argue that. Okay, so we are Nerd Thug Radio. We talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. I think there's one thing we have to touch on that is super nerdy, but because of my new job, I'm keenly aware of it. Is Ravensburger the dumbest company on the planet?
Ravensburger. These are the people handing Disney Lorcana, correct?
Correct.
They might be.
Certainly, at least on some level, incredibly incompetent, right?
Yeah. So what's your beef with them? Because I feel like we're not at... I'm not entirely sure why you're so upset with them.
Well, I'm just annoyed... Okay, so I'm now the assistant general manager at a nerd store, and this Lorcana dominates a lot of like the internal communication at the store because so many people want it. There's such a massive secondary market for it that people are just dying to get a hold of the product. But we're having to like eke it out in small increments because it has to last through this whole OP event that they have us hosting. So Ravensburger basically came to the distributor, to the stores, and said, here's everything you need to run a multi-week event in store. However, they didn't deliver anywhere near enough product to host a multi-week event. They didn't really deliver enough product to make it through opening. Now, some things are just highly sought after, and this is one of those things. So sometimes, like, you could get, like, 4 or 5 cases, which would be, like, 60 or 80 booster boxes. And you could still sell out of them.
Oh, yeah, very easily.
That's not the case here. They sent us literally, like, 1 case of Lorcana material. We're supposed to be hosting, like, up to 8 matches at a time. They sent us 3 playmats. Like, they didn't produce enough of anything. Forget, like, just the card side. Like, playmats, little tic-tacs and things like that you use on the board, they didn't produce enough of anything.
Which is so strange, because, like, if this is you have the full backing of Disney, as if Disney's not the biggest thing since sliced bread, like, you should know for a fact that you gotta be... You have to be ready for the people.
And you got to think you're sitting on a pretty serious opportunity. Like, this is as close as it comes to just printing free money. When it comes to a license and a game concept, Magic the Gathering meets Disney is essentially... That's money in the bank, my brother.
Yeah, and, like, the game is, like, good and... You know, the arts is nice. There's things that people are excited about. And so when you all these things are together, it's just it's a perfect storm for poor distribution to just rain on everyone's parade.
Yeah, like there's certainly the idea of like, hey, let's stay small on this so that there's always demand. Okay, that's an interesting business model. But what if you actually sold out and the demand was still there? And this product easily could sell out. So it really, the first question becomes, how did they so grossly miss the mark?
I don't know. Maybe it was a lot of people not having a lot of confidence, which is strange because, I mean, Disney, to be fair, Disney has not had the greatest track record these past couple years on producing quality products, but they also didn't give any credence to how actually insatiable the collector market and, like, card game people are.
Well, and frankly, okay, now, from the comic book side, the orders come in before you make your final order at the printer. So, like, if I'm in the quote-unquote diamond catalog for comic books, they'll tell me how many copies to print before we even get to the cutoff date for printing my comic books. Now, there's a little bit more involved in making cards that go in packs and things of that nature. But the idea that they can't, that like what, the first wave of orders came in and they were so overwhelmed that they couldn't respond?
I don't know. And the thing is that this game has been announced for over a year.
Yeah, that's really where the disconnect is on my end. Like, for a year they've been watching everything. They should have seen this. So anyway, on a post on their social media accounts today, they announced that they'll be increasing production on Lorcana booster packs to meet the extremely high demand of the new collectible trading card game. And they'll also be reprinting the first set of cards called the First Chapter. They're intent on meeting the demands of fans in order to keep the secondary market for the new game at bay. They want to make sure that every fan and collector can find cards at their local store.
Yeah, I mean, that's overall the goal, really.
I don't actually know that it is for a lot of people.
Well, I mean,
a lot of people want their stuff on the secondary market.
Well, yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, that's what the very like hard to pull, very expensive cards come in. Like, but if no one's able to, like, if you want people to play your game, they have to be able to buy your game. And if no one can buy it because opening it is worth so much, then it becomes hostile. Like, it becomes a barrier of entry.
Right.
Because it's like, there's cool if you can buy a box and pull a card that's worth, you know, hundreds of dollars. But, you know, these boxes are expensive, too. That's the other thing.
Well, and here's what I'm going to be upset about. Walmart and Target, this game is going to hit big box stores today, Friday, September 1st. If Walmart and Target, and they're going to, this makes me so mad. If Walmart and Target get more quantities per store than these retailers were, and the retailers are where people go to play these games. You don't play them at a Walmart. You come to a card shop to play them. Very I'm going to be really upset.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's going to be, the worst part is that it's easier to sell to Walmart and Target because they're like, cool, we'll buy thousands, put them in all our stores, whatever.
I think most shops would have maxed out the old credit card to get in Lorcana. I think it's a slam dunk all around.
Again, I agree, but that's just the way that, you know, it's like Wizards of the Coast selling all their stuff through Amazon versus selling them through stores,
right?
Because they just get to keep all that money, so they sell these products at huge discounts to where, like, it's lower than what stores are buying from distributors, like, on Amazon. So, like, oh, were you awake at 6 a.m.? Guess what? You got to buy magic boxes for $70.
Yeah, instead of the 130 that they are everywhere.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I just, you know, internally, it's like I said, it's eating up a lot of communication traffic where people are like, what do we do? People are calling, what about this? What if they left their passport or lose it? Or what if they do this or do that? It's like, yeah, if they don't have their passport, they can't get more card. Like, I mean, we're having to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you guys are having to bend over backwards because the release is so rough.
We're doing all of this just so people can play their dumb game. We sell other stuff. We don't need them.
That's true. And there's a lot of other games that are more readily available and personally, I think, better. But, I mean, that's just me.
And I'm just, like, I'm just sort of annoyed at the kind of, just the sheer fumble of this. Like, this was a huge opportunity. Even I was kind of intrigued when I heard it. Like, maybe I should get a couple packs. Internally in the store, a lot of people had, like, a lot of the employees sometimes will buy a couple just out of curiosity or whatever. A lot of people had been like, yeah, I think I'll pick up one or two. Then we found out, no, we will barely have enough to get through our in-store event. Nobody is getting extra. Like, nobody is getting anything.
Yeah. Suddenly it was like, Just such a fumble, honestly. Like, this is the thing that you go big because you've been hyping it up for a year.
Like, well, you go big because it should be a huge deal. Like, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't a trading card collectible game featuring Disney licensing just be the biggest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know. People are scared, I guess.
But anyway, I just think Ravensburger absolutely.
I wonder what's going to happen with this lawsuit. I haven't kept up with it.
You know, by nature nowadays, I almost dismiss mentally any lawsuit. You can file a lawsuit for any reason. The courts won't stop you from filing the dumbest, most incompetent lawsuit ever.
It's true.
They will, however, after the fact, if you don't produce any evidence as an officer of the court, call into question the merit of your actions, but they will let you do it. Case in point, a lot of the lawyers involved in all the election stuff. A lot of the lawyers on the election denial side did not bring the goods to court when they filed a lot of these cases. And the judges in question submitted the cases for review with the, you know, with like the board or whatever, the bar, not the board, the bar. And a lot of these lawyers face sanctions from their own professional communities for their behaviors. And before someone retorts with, you know, oh, politics and it's political and blah, 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 it's like, do you not think that there are Republican lawyers? Like, I mean, in particular, sitting on the bar, do you not think there are Republican lawyers? Like, I feel like a lawyer is probably a pretty, if they were looking at, like, jobs and what they vote, I bet lawyer votes Republican 50-50.
Yeah, it's probably, it's, you have a pretty good chance.
I feel pretty good about that one. So the idea that, like, oh no, the reason they went after those guys and held them responsible for their actions is because
no, the Democrats. Consequences of my actions.
Right. And it's like, are you sure? It seems like they're being punished because they're officers of the court who just absolutely fumbled the bag on this one.
Right. Much like Ravensburger, absolutely fumbling the bag on distribution and getting this game to people.
Yeah, I just, I don't, sometimes when you, like, what a massive opportunity in front of you to just poop the bed.
Right.
Like, how do you blow it that bad?
And it's not even like, because a similar thing happened to One Piece, when the One Piece game card game came out at the end of December last year.
I do remember this. You were excited. You were trying to get a hold of some starters, yeah. And you couldn't.
Couldn't. They were so hard to come by. And then I luckily got everything I needed at like retail price. Thank God. It got very, very expensive very, very fast. At one point, the standard booster boxes, which like MSRP for like $80 to $90, were online for like $300+.
And that sucks. Like that's just not fair. To, I don't mean fair like a universal sense, like everyone should be able to buy whatever they want, but it's just not fair to the consumer. Like the guy who just wants to play the game and have fun, no shot at spending 3 or 4 or 5 times the price to get those cards. Like,
yeah,
that's, at that point, it's a limited market of people who can enjoy themselves and have fun with it, and that's what takes the fun out of stuff like all of it. HeroClix, Magic the Gathering, any of them. Once you start having the elite players versus the everyone else, it becomes a real kind of annoying thing. Like, talent and skill are one thing. It's another thing when somebody can just, yeah, I bought the $9,000 cards that came out from the new set, so basically this is a god deck now. And you're like, oh, okay, well, thanks for coming to play in our little $5 tournament. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And that one was just like, just getting the product was hard. Like, very, very
like,
few.
To even enjoy it. Like, that's annoying.
Yeah. And it was very expensive for a long time. Finally, now that, like, Bandai was like, we're releasing more of them. Now that they're, even still, the box prices are still double what MSRP is. They're like 160 now. Which, I mean, far cry from 300, but
still
double MSRP. It's still twice as expensive as it should be.
Okay, I'll give you another example. We'll give you some insider baseball. There's a bunch of other distributors that aren't, like, the primaries, right?
Yeah.
They get a hold of boxes and stuff from who knows where, but they also will...
The Ether, I assume.
Who knows? But they,
tiny gnomes that assemble the products.
They shoot their shot, though, nonetheless. They send you emails, and they're like, you know, hey, I've got 4 cases of whatever at this price. And yes, it's always more. Because, first of all, it's a whole other set of hands that have touched the product before it got to you.
Yeah.
So there's another layer of company margins on it, first of all. But secondly, it's a secondary market where I'm trying to buy cases to then turn around and break down and sell to customers at an average or a fair price. Like, I'm not trying. Listen, there's another shop down the street. There's eBay, there's Amazon. We are aware that we are in a competitive market. We don't want to price things in such a way where people feel like we're trying to win a contest.
I don't know. You guys are winning the contest of the best deals.
We do. I do. I do think we price things fair. Like, I think we price things aggressively fair, if that's a way to phrase something. Like, we kind of go out of our way to be like, all right, they're charging more, so we could raise our price, still be under them, but make more money. And instead, internally, I mean, I wish I could show you guys emails where, like, the owner is just like, nah, we'll let him sell out at his high price, and then they'll come to us. Now, to be fair, we do it the other way, too, where if we're over them just because of what our cost is, we're not going to move off of that just because they went cheap. Like,
yeah,
like we mind our margins. We don't worry about what anyone else is doing. And that generally makes us a fair price on most product. But there is still some stuff. So kind of get back to it. So one of these distributors shot a list out. They're like, hey, these prices are good for the next 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. Who's doing a Labor Day sale? And I'm going down the list. What I wanted to see was, so Upper Deck makes all the Marvel licensed stuff.
Mm.
We buy metric tons of hockey so that we are eligible to be able to buy whatever we want of the Marvel stuff. We buy all the movie licensed products, all the TV licensed products. We just got in cases of the What If. We buy the Shang-Chi. We buy the Eternal. We bought the WandaVision. We bought the Winter Soldier. We bought all that stuff so that we would have access to the quality Marvel cards. We've got the Marvel Annual. We have the Beginnings. We had Marvel Flair until it sold out. So Marvel Masterworks is like the big home run, okay? These are expensive cards. Takes the guy 2 years to draw them. They hired Daniel Soto, big-time Marvel artist. He sat down, he went through, and he drew 200 cards, something like that. Then there's also the sketch cards and whatever, whatever. It's a big deal. The set usually will have, like, in a box, 4 or 5 packs, and each pack will have, like, 5 cards in it. and you're still going to pay like $25-$30 a pack at like base manufacturer level, these are expensive cards. So we've done all of our dotting I's and crossing T's to try and get, make sure we get Marvel Masterworks. When that thing came out, we got none. We had three people show up drop date, and they were like, hey man, like, just we'll hang out till you get it. And they're like, yeah, we still don't know when FedEx is coming today, so you know, if you leave info, we'll text you when it comes in and we'll set one aside for you, you know, as long as you can be here today. If you can't be here today, it's gonna go on the shelf, but if you can be back here today, we'll set one aside, blah blah blah. All right, that sounds fair, that sounds cool. So FedEx comes and goes later in the day, no Marvel Masterworks are on it. Start checking with the boss, start checking through invoicing, start checking through this, start checking through that. Sure enough, yeah, nope, they sent us none for sale.
Awesome.
Internally, I will say, we had conversations where at that point it was sort of like, why are we buying hockey? Why are we buying What If? Why are we buying Shang-Chi? Like, maybe we don't care anymore. But so,
yeah, I mean, if you're not even going to get access to like the flagship, what's the point?
Exactly. So then we're looking at today on that list. I looked at Marvel Masterworks, and I was just like, I was furious. Marvel Masterworks on this guy's little sheet. Now keep in mind, I think we would have paid north of $250 a box, not a case, a box. We would have paid north of $250 a box. Customer would have probably paid north of like $300 a box, but probably under $350, probably. At our store, if we'd have gotten it, this guy, a secondary market, $975 for a case.
How many boxes are in a case?
I think 4. So
that's a.
No, that was $975 a box. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was like, that sounds about right.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The sheet was, I have cases, and then for Marvel Masterworks, the site, because I saw $975 for a case, and I was like, oh, and then the side note on it was per box, *, for Marvel Masterworks. And I was like, wow. So $1,000 per box for the Marvel Masterworks.
That's insane.
This guy's 4xing it at the secondary distributor market. But before it still gets to a store, he's 4xing it.
Right, which means that at the store level, they're playing like $1,100, $1,200.
Right.
At least.
I then went online just to see. Like, let's see. What is this, like, what's happening here? Online, all of a sudden, it's like, so I think there were 6 packs in these particular boxes. And so at $350, that means we would have been at like 60, or no, I guess we would have been at like 50 a pack. Okay? Which is crazy to me. That's nuts.
That's very expensive. We would have been at
50 a pack. I've seen more expensive packs in our store for stuff. That's just a little lot to me.
I mean, collectible cards just, the prices are crazy to me. It literally blows my mind. Sometimes, as someone who plays every TCG ever.
Yeah, sometimes the pricing really does sort of, like, I'm like, who's gonna, and then we'll sell out of it.
Yeah, that's the wilder part. Like, I'm right. Like, I think I spend a lot of money, and it's like, you don't spend anything. There's people who spend 12 times what I spend in a year.
Yeah,
dude. In an afternoon.
There were two guys, they're two of our better customers, I know them by name. We talk when they come in, we like buddy with them because just, I mean, it's just what they spend. Tuesday or Thursday. They were just sitting there chit chatting. Had to be Thursday because stuff had dropped that week and we were getting a reload. So it had to be Thursday. They're just sitting there chit chatting, getting into the new stuff that had dropped the day before. And then also getting into the stuff that reloaded. And all of a sudden at one point, it's like 3:45 in the afternoon, and I just glance at the internally on my home screen for the retail side, I can see daily sales. And I just glance. And
you're sick.
Yeah, it's Thursday. It's not even 4 o'clock yet, and we're already at like 10-2 for the store, or 9-8 or something like that. And then I look, and about 8 of it is just the two of them sitting around opening cards and just going through, and they're talking and having a great time and laughing, enjoying themselves, and just opening boxes and boxes of cards.
I'm sick.
And they're really having a great time, but they are buying like 3 boxes, 4 boxes at a time, getting into it, getting some of the higher end stuff. Like it's just.
And so these Marvel Masterwork packs, how much are these packs selling for?
They should be $50. Right now on eBay, the average cost is, if you were to buy multiple, so if you wanted to buy 3 of them, the bulk price for your 3-pack, $84 a pack.
Okay, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to say something ridiculous, like $200.
Yeah, this guy's a storefront. I found him as a storefront, and his solo pack was like $98. And I was like, $100? But then when I started like looking, I was like, honestly, $600 in pack, like, it means he opened the box, so like that immediately knocks, you know how it, like.
Yeah. As soon as you open the box, it's not worth as much.
Right. Which is dumb. I don't even want to have that combo. It's still the same stuff in it, but it is what it is.
It's because it's sealed. Right. It's just to protect people from getting absolutely wrecked by like scammers or something like that. Like if it's one signature or like one fancy card per box, and they open it in the first few packs, and then they fill the box back up and be like, "Oh, I have a full box for sale. The shrink wrap's just off."
Like.
Oh, by the way, okay. So, side note about that.
Go on.
So, Bandai makes like a million card games. They have the Dragon Ball, the Digimon, the One Piece, and they have their own IP called Battle Spirits.
Okay.
It's a fun game. They just released set 2 a couple weeks ago. It has cratered into the ground.
Oh, no.
Because their rarity distribution is straight up predatory. So usually there's like one big hit in like a box. There'll be one like, cause there's a rarity called Special Rare, and then they have a collaboration this set which changes the art, and like, so like you either get like a Special Rare or a collaboration card. Okay, that makes sense. A case is 12 boxes. 3 boxes are just dead. They don't have anything higher than like the minimum rarity.
Like just the base.
Yeah. There's no hits in them at all. And it vacuumed out so much, like so much enjoyment for people, because it was basically like the very first, so like I go on like the community page and I'm like, well, let's see what people are talking about. And it's like set release, some big tournament, and the very next like post is like, did I get scammed? They're like, I bought a box and I opened nothing of high rarity, and then like everyone in the comments had to go, tough luck, buddy. There's 3 boxes in every single case that are completely dead.
Why would anyone think that that's a fair way to sell stuff to people?
And the worst part about it too is because it completely vacuumed out the secondary market too. Like, that guy probably opened, I kid you not, Corey, maybe $20 worth of cards at a maximum.
Out of 3 boxes.
No, out of a single box.
Oh, like, out of a single box. God, so like, that would still be frustrating.
Yeah. And by the way, at a maximum, like if you sold everything, kept nothing, like.
Right.
Maximum $20. Like, you just get hosed. Especially if you're buying at retail, $80, $60 a box minimum. You're losing 2/3 of your money to open nothing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So my buddy who opened a case and he was like, I was so excited, and then I opened my case and I just get absolutely hosed. I'm like, it's tough. And I don't understand, because usually Bandai is so good with their rarity distribution that, like One Piece and Digimon and Dragon Ball do just fine. But for some reason
that no one wants to talk about.
And it's weird, because it's their own IP. Like, this is the thing they should be, like, hyping up. And, like, they did a huge ad campaign. They talked to every person on the planet who was relevant and not relevant to try and hype this game up. $1 million cash prize tournaments, like, everything. No one cares.
But not enough cards in the box.
But yeah, like, because that's just a part of, like, card games in general. Like, people like opening boxes because, A, it's fun. Like, sure, yes, you get cards, but, like, getting the high rarity cards. Ooh, what if this box has a case hit, has something crazy in it?
Well, I'll flat out tell you that the collectors, the high-end collectors, the guys who, the two of them who can spend $8,000 in a day, they buy it by the box, and what they're talking about when they talk about what boxes they want to get, they're talking about the box hits. They have that whole conversation. Yeah, but this one, out of these, you'll get at least two signatures and two parallels. Out of this one, you'll get four parallels. Like, they're looking at that value, and depending on what they're hunting, that's what they buy. Like, we got a guy who comes in, and he puts good money into it, but he's got a strategy. He goes and he buys the older sets now that those players are established. So instead of trying to find rookie cards this year and hold on to them, he just tries to find the old rookie cards from those sets. So, like, right now, the 2016 Select is for NFL. He's going through and aggressively buying those and he has us order more, and then he buys them and has us order more. And as we get them in, he's looking for the rookies for that year, in particular, Travis Kelce. He wants to get a Travis Kelce rookie card. That's part of his personal collection. So that's what he's doing. But if you're not doing something like that where you're targeting a particular card, yeah, you're looking at the sealed boxes and you're trying to get, you know, oh, this one says 2 to 4 or two at minimum, two autos in every box. This one says two autos and two relics in every box. So then, like, that's what
imagine if they were just like, there's two autos in the case, but you don't know which one.
Right. And that's the, like, no, they wouldn't. When stuff goes that gimmicky, they don't buy it.
Right, because the downside risk is so high.
Yeah, they're not going to buy. Like, they're not going to buy a case that potentially is totally dead.
Right,
and by the way, they all talk like no one told me, but I went through. We'd had some Panini WWE, I think Revolution sitting out that was $40 a pack. It's a 12-pack box. We had 9 packs that have been sitting out for a year. And it's because everyone in the store had heard the story that some kid came in and pulled the Undertaker kaboom out of that box. So everyone knew the box was dead. So nobody was touching. They don't want the parallels of the numbers and the autos that might be in there. They're looking for the kabooms. And now they know the kaboom is out of that box, so no thank you.
Right, and it's just going to sit there and rot, because I'm not interested.
Right.
And so you'd have to basically put it on somebody else who doesn't even know that it's
toast. Yeah, you'd have to be like a predator and trick someone else into buying it or just burn it. And so what we do is, after things sit X amount of time, internally we then open it up and we see if there's stuff of value. And there are plenty of times where there's stuff of value, and so like, from those packs, there were some autos that were decent. We got Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, so I sent those off to be graded. If those come back high quality, then, you know, there's still value that came out of those packs. Probably not enough to get back. Those packs sell for $30 to $40. So, like,
yeah,
probably not $400 worth. Wrestling signatures aren't worth that. But, you know, hopefully we get a couple hundred bucks back. And that's the reality. That's what you have to do. But sitting there doing nothing, it's not making you any money.
Right. So, I mean, like, 'tis the world of cardboard, right? Like,
ugh.
I love it. I love it so much. It's my whole life.
Sometimes, though, it can just be so, like, frustrating.
Oh, for sure.
When you see stuff like the Lorcana stuff, just to kind of bring it all back around. When you see stuff like Lorcana stuff, when you see stuff like the Marvel Masterworks thing, where like, oh, did you spend $10,000 in Upper Deck cards? No,
it's crazy. You're kidding. We've qualified you for zero of our good product. It's like terrible. And that's another okay. So I mean, I know we're trying to move on for this topic, but. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is having a really big problem with their sealed product, too. Because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, like, these booster boxes come out all literally in, like, the stretch between, May through, like, July, they had, like, 5 different product releases.
Oh.
In, like, that 3-month span.
Why?
Because they're lunatics. And only one of those products is profitable. And it's not even by that much.
That's... Well, yeah, you can't... I mean... Like, so... I think what that attributes to something different than the card problem, I think that attributes to sort of this fatigue that we hit as consumers about stuff. I think part of the reason the comic book companies are... All right, now let me be clear about this. Sales are up. The movies are doing well. I don't want to take the position of the comic book companies in some sort of doom spiral. That is not the position I take. They're not. They just aren't. Now, in our store, in our individual store, the floppy sales are down, but the graphic novel sales are up. The manga sales are up. Readers are there. Floppies just aren't as interesting, and part of that is because variant covers have kind of, they just eat up a lot of the money of the floppy buyers, but also just fatigue. Like, if you like Superman and Batman, the number of events like that Batman has been through in the last, like, it's thing after thing after thing. And there's not like a 2-year Batman run where it's just 2 years of good Batman stories. It's just Batman event after Batman event after Batman event. And that's not the way to... Every once in a while, that would get people hyped. But when you're doing it all the time, like, you have no self-control.
Yeah, if you're going big event back to back to back to back, it's no longer a big event. It's now just the standard of, oh, what are we doing now?
And I think that's sort of the problem like that Witcher had, where it was all build-up and no payoff, because every season, build-up, status quo change at the end of every season. But, like... Because they always do that, it's no longer entertaining, because that's just going to be what they do.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something to say about something that's short, sweet, and then it's over. Like,
yeah, they should have just been, like, with Witcher, they should have just been more bold and told a story with every season. With Yu-Gi-Oh!, they should have just kind of taken a step back and been like, hey, are we really lining up 3 products and or 5 product launches in 3 months? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it was brutal. Like, it's hard. And Yu-Gi-Oh! It's still one of the biggest games in the entire world. It's one of the most well-known franchises. And you're having difficulty selling it? Like, it's kind of weird paradigm to be in, right?
Oh, for sure. It absolutely is one of the weirdest It's weird to think that you can't walk into a store right now and buy one of the most popular card games on the planet, Lorcana.
Right, yeah. Lorcana, huge game. Oh, you could have fooled me. I can't find it anywhere. No one I know has it.
Can't be that big if nobody owns any, or if everybody who owns it has got it on eBay for sale. Like, that's sort of the weird, confusing thing, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, you can find it online for double the price. Good luck.
And that's, you got to think, these companies sometimes have to think of themselves more as stewards than as profit machines. Even if you think of yourself as a profit machine, you don't make profit if you don't have stuff to sell. So I'm just not clear on where, I don't understand how they didn't get that right.
Easily. There's too much product, and they were like, oh man, what if it doesn't sell? Or maybe it's just all going to retailers and we just haven't even seen the first of it yet.
Let me tell you something. If tomorrow,
Walmart's going to be the Walmarts are going to be flooded. The Targets are going to be full,
like drowning in Lurkana. Now, first of all, we all know the collectors are going to hit it, right?
Oh yeah.
But let's say that there's so much that even after the collectors hit Walmart and Target, there are still boxes for the old kiddos to buy. You know how mad I'm going to be? Like, if Walmart was like, yeah, we got like 90 cases of this in the back. You can buy as many as you want. And the guy's like, I can't afford to buy 90 cases. Like, I'll take 3. And they're like, okay, whatever. Like, Mr. Big Spender, go ahead and get 4 more out from the back. You know what I mean? Like, they're not even concerned about it. You know, sometimes they tell you, hey, one box at a time, guys. But it's because they're trying to manage this product.
But yeah, they don't want to repeat a Pokemon where people were fighting in the literal streets over a couple Pokemon booster packs.
That Pokemon led to violence in the streets. Partly because Japan is known for being like such a polite and orderly society. That the idea that their dumb little cartoon turned into a riot, I kind of like.
Well, the best part is that it turned into a riot in the States, which, I mean, like, thanks, America.
Like, if it was going to turn into a riot, it would always be, like, that part you don't have to say. I don't think anyone's going to riot over it. I just like the idea that someone rioted over it, considering where it came from and, like, the stereo.
Yeah, there's people getting their teeth knocked out over a cartoon mouse.
Right. I love it. It's so stupid, but like, it is such. First of all, it's exactly an American thing that would happen, but yeah, I personally hope that they get to the spot where they're just like Walmart and Target don't have any either. Because if they put stuff on the shelves, and if by like September 4th there's still stuff on the shelves at Walmart and Target, I'm gonna lose my mind that they gypped us so bad.
Yeah, because it just shows you where their priorities are.
And don't get me wrong. Would I want to be in Walmart and Target? Yes. But you have to do a better job of managing the stores, because we're the guys who are going to literally sit down and teach people how to play your dumb game.
Yeah, and then, like, Pokemon is a collector game for sure. But the amount of people who collect Pokemon would be nowhere near as high if there weren't so many stores that held Pokemon events for, you know, kids and adults to play.
Imagine if we lived in a universe where the idea of people coming into stores and playing Pokemon competitively didn't exist.
Right. It'd be a way smaller thing.
It absolutely would be, because then the appeal, because again, there'd be no swapping, there'd be no trades, there'd be no constant, like, there wouldn't be a huge community to tell you what's rare or not rare, because basically the only people, like, there's not a massive community of people who tell you what's rare or not rare out of the little quarter bins at Walmart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's only because stuff is exciting that they get involved. And if there's no one else playing it, how is it exciting?
So they got to take care of it. They got to get their priorities straight. You got to take care of the places that people actually go to.
Yeah, and I don't see how they think they did.
Right. We're just going to start the Walmart League. Who's just going to run illicit tournaments out of the Walmart parking lot.
Until they ask you to leave.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you can park an RV in a Walmart, maybe they won't ask you to leave. Who knows?
We'll just bribe the management. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Now we're committing felonies to play Pokemon in a parking lot.
Yeah, bro. It's like the olden days.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe this is ignorance. I don't actually know if it's illegal to bribe someone who isn't a public official. Is that a crime?
I don't think so. Just paying someone. Paying people isn't a crime.
Yeah, because basically, right, like...
Bribery's not real unless they're breaking the law. And if they don't ask you to leave, you're not breaking any laws.
So, but even if they wanted you to do... Like, even if they wanted you to leave... And you gave them money, and then they said, never mind, you can stay. Isn't that just what everyone else at a Walmart does? Like, they buy stuff, then they're not loitering? Like,
yeah.
If it's not a public official, is a bribe illegal? I don't actually know if it is or not. I have no...
To me, that doesn't sound like anything. That sounds like two consenting adults exchanging funds.
Right, which, you know, allegedly you should be able to do. I'm just... I'm just thinking out loud as we're talking about it. Like, bribery is one. I don't know. I don't know if it's bribery or not.
I don't think it is, but we're gonna call it bribery for the sake of safety.
Yeah, let's not encourage people to bribe someone. However, I'm not a lawyer. I've never played one on TV.
That'd be cool if that was the other qualification for lawyer.
Have you been a lawyer on TV? I have. All right, congratulations, you passed the bar. What? No. I've also played a doctor. Wow, you're an accomplished individual, doctor. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I mean, I have been in the room when Suits has been on a lot. I don't know if that qualifies me legally or not. Feels like it does, because they argue a lot on that show. There's a lot of talk on that show.
Yep.
By the way, that show, Netflix really, okay, that show is always kind of big, right? And then Meghan Markle becomes a princess, and then she becomes the anti-princess or whatever she is. And so, like, that show has always gotten a ton of attention. And it is kind of weird that a princess or a former princess is in a TNT drama or a USA drama. That is kind of an odd thing. But we do live in that kind of world, I suppose. But it's Netflix really kind of like, it's been number one on Netflix for a long time now, like a month and a half. It's staying in the top five, top 10. And obviously I think this was already in the works, but the girl in the show, Jessica Pearson is the character's name. She was the lead partner of the Black Lady. She has her own spinoff coming out. This show is a monster. I didn't realize it until really this Netflix run, how massive Suits really is.
It's a big deal. It's funny because, like, to me, the definitive, like, court thing is, like, Law and Order.
Yeah,
that's like half. That's like half a cop show, though.
It is. The first 22 minutes, they catch a crook. The second 22 minutes, they try him. Totally legitimate. Totally love it.
So, like, to me, that was always, like, the definitive. But, like, Law & Order's been off the air for a long time.
There's the only one generation being coming up on Suits.
Right. I also like to blame, like, YouTube Shorts / TikTok, because I feel like I've seen so many clips of Suits on there.
Yeah, who's like, making those? Is that just a PR thing from YouTube and Netflix? Because it's working. Because you're right. They're everywhere.
Like, I can't go, like, 5 minutes without there being, like, oh, hey, look, it's a clip from Suits. And, like, I got to admit, like, I sit there and I watch it and I'm like, oh, that is fun. This is cool.
Yeah, I like the little two-minute clips because there's a little bit of drama and a little bit of humor. And you're like, oh, that was a good little clip. I don't know that I would – I don't – there's not a lot of 45-minute shows I sit down and watch anymore.
Right.
I don't know what's changed in my viewing patterns. But, like, if it doesn't specifically cater to something I care about – I can't sit down and be like, let's try this out.
It's a fair point. Well, I mean, like, there's so much stuff now, right? You have to just
only
consume the things you like. You really have the time to be like,
I'm pretty
this is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to give an hour to something and be like, can I turn this off yet? Like, and some of it is worth watching, but then some of it, like, okay, I just saw, I think Netflix just okayed a second season of the Murdaugh Murders. The guy's in prison. They covered it pretty thoroughly. Not sure we need a second season.
Yeah, that one, that's just, I think, one of the weird things that Netflix greenlights because the first thing was so popular. It's like The Tiger King. The Tiger King didn't need a sequel.
I don't know. The second one was fascinating because it focused on that other dude.
That's fair. But, like, to me, when I heard Tiger King 2, my eyes just rolled and I haven't seen it, so...
Oh, yeah. So it focuses a little bit more on Carol Baskins and her questionable stuff, but then it also focuses a ton on the guru guy. Do you remember in the first one?
Yeah, they briefly touch him on him in the first season.
How, like, he's
like a weird, like, culty kind of guy. He's got, like, three wives or something like that.
Yeah, he's living with, like, nine beautiful women, and he pays for all of their augmentations, and everybody sleeps with tigers or whatever. Like, yeah, that dude. They kind of blow up his spot on the second one, and it's fascinating because it's pretty obvious that guy's skirting legality himself. And they even tie him to some underage stuff.
Which, again, a guy like that, not surprising.
Yeah. You know, just when I think I found a hero, you got to sit there and tear him down.
You thought you saw that and you thought he was the good guy?
Bro, riding around on elephants, surrounded by bodacious ladies, and a king of the tigers. I mean, mentored the tiger. Like, how was he not?
He was always the bad guy.
Just think, if Tiger King had been governor of Oklahoma, and the governor of Oklahoma considered this dude his mentor, how awesome was that? Like,
yeah, that's like definition. That's like how you write a villain 101. Like, the guy has the same like motif. If he was like the jungle version of Calypso from Twisted Metal.
So you're saying sitting around with a house full of women and wild animals is usually an indicator that you're not the good guy.
Yeah, can't tell you a lot of good heroes that line is usually used for.
So Tarzan, just out.
Yeah, because Tarzan's the outlier, and he was also raised by gorillas.
Well, before we watched the documentary, you don't know what this guy was raised by. He could have been raised by women and elephants.
Highly unlikely.
But, okay, but if he was, is he now the good guy?
Potentially.
All right. Okay.
If you're gonna be like he was orphaned and his parents died in a shipwreck and he was raised by African elephants in the jungles and then was found and then rejoined society. Okay, maybe.
You can't leave out beautiful women. Like if African elephants and beautiful women co-raised him in the jungles of Africa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when he came to America, he didn't understand society's rules.
Right. See, there's a difference between not understanding society's rules and doing illegal things.
Well, but if you don't know the rules, how illegal is it really?
Still very illegal. I don't think you can...
Is that not my defense in court? Your Honor, this was awesome. Who knew it was against the law?
I had no idea. I just couldn't tell.
Sir, when the police kept issuing you citations and you continued, those were your indicators it was against the law. Really? I just thought I had to pay like a tax. Okay, well that's good to know. All right, well I'll leave and I'll just stop doing that then. No.
Sir, you're under arrest.
Sir, this is a trial. I just obviously he was the bad guy, but I did think like anyone who watched who saw more than 3 minutes of either one of these people in real life should have thought that anyway, though, right? Like. I'm sorry, Elephant Guy has how many girlfriends? Okay, yeah. Or like when you're watching the live show and six different women come out all in like sexy crop top, augmented out the wazoo, big blonde hair. That's weird. Why do they all look like this? That's odd. I thought this was a tiger resort. This took a turn.
I did not know we were in this kind of place. All right.
Apparently tigers are swingers. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Learn more every day, I guess.
Who knew that tigers could legally marry women? I didn't know that. That's fascinating. That's crazy. Oh, they're all there for him. Oh. Okay, that makes more and less sense at the same time.
How many tigers did he marry?
Tiger Zero, women, I don't remember, but I feel like it was more than one. Yeah, probably a bad thing.
Probably a bad guy.
Before we get out of all this, I do have an announcement to make as we're against it here. I'm thinking of going Team Xbox.
You've told me this and I'm surprised.
They finally got enough exclusives that make me go, okay. Really, it's the Bethesda exclusive that finally got me. Like, as they were pecking off other stuff that I was pseudo interested in, I would be like, you know what? Who cares? But finally, with Bethesda and the Bethesda people being like, Starfield will never be on a PlayStation. That was enough for me to finally be like, I guess I have to go.
It looks like it's my time.
So, yeah. So that's what I'm going to be doing. All right. All that being said, thanks for hanging out with us. We had a wonderful, wonderful week. We hope you do too. Enjoy your weekend. There's a Conroe Sports Show going on. There's some great stuff happening at the Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More, and the stadium. Come hang out with us. I will be at both of those places all weekend. Come hang out. In the meantime, you guys stay nerdy, because we are Nerds Like Radio.